God our Father, again, the moment has come that we would ready ourselves to hear what you will say to the church. The moment has come that we would purge ourselves of those things that can so easily distract us, things that slow us down and frustrate us. So we're asking you to help us to pay attention very closely, that we would have a priority moment with you, seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, not concerning ourselves with other matters now. May your word be glorified in our lives. We be glorified in your word. Humble us, we pray. Bring an end to the busyness of life for just a few moments, that we would be ushered into that quiet and sacred place with you. Not so quiet that we don't worship or don't give you praise, but life quiet. Open again our eyes and our ears and stir us. Oh, that we would know that surely we were with you. Spirit of the Lord is here. The opportunity now presents itself that we would draw nearer unto you. You have drawn near unto us. We're closer now than we once were, and it's a good close. Someone said that Jesus is the best thing
Yes, Lord.
That ever happened. And God, we say amen to that and then some. Our follow-up is, if it had not been for the Lord. So we thank you. And hear from you again. And bless me again to share as only preaching can share. Someone once said, it is by the foolishness of preaching, my Lord, then I'll be a fool, that you be glorified. And I pray, God, that what we share privately will help them publicly. They'll come to know who they are in you and that you are in them. Forgive us of our sins, we pray, and God have mercy on us. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Give God some praise by putting your hands together. Come on, everybody. Come on, come on. Bless the name of the Lord. That's what we came for. We came to give him all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. We came to shout that he's worthy. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 6, if you will, please. First Sunday in September. The year is moving very quickly. Again, next Sunday we will be celebrating as we prepare ourselves, and pray that you will come with friends and families and kin and cousin. We'll lift up the name of the Lord once again in this great place. Amen. Romans 6. You found your place. Again, I have a New Living Translation. And this is what the Bible says in Romans 6. And our setup is just at verse 4. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. God bless you. You may be seated. It's not my intention to trouble you very long. Just going to say what I need to say, and you're going to say amen, and we're going to move on to the glory of God. Amen. Again, I want to lift up verse 4. It says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Do me a quick favor here. Last week, I was trying to tell you about your relocation reservation. I want to help you a little bit further. If you'll do me a favor and fix a good little smile on your face, try to smile. Amen. If you can't smile, don't look at nobody. That's most disturbing. Folk get nervous. Smile and say, neighbor, pastor's going to preach. Making the necessary adjustments. Amen. That's what I want to talk about. Making the necessary adjustments. Here's what I'm convinced of, and I believe this is going to help us get a little further along the way. Paul writes these letters to churches, so that they can be better churches. Now remember, all of these are new startup ministries: Church at Rome, the Church at Corinth, the Church at Colossus, the Church at Thessalonica, Church at Philippi. All of these are baby churches, and Paul's got to write all these letters to all these churches so that they can be better churches. And the reality is that many of us are little startup churches. We're all housing the body of God, the body of Christ, the Godhead, the Trinity. All of those things exist within us. But the reality is nobody ever really told us all that we were really supposed to be. Amen. Now, let's be honest with each other. Let's just remember when we first got saved and baptized. How many of you remember a long time ago when you first got saved? They didn't hand you an instruction manual. They just said, be a good Christian, do no harm, and, you know, don't drink too much, don't cuss, don't smoke, don't steal. But you have come to know there's more to it than that, haven't you? Haven't you discovered that there's more to being a Christian than just the don't do things? How many of you want to shout back with me and realize now that what they should have told you is to do things? How many of you can recognize if they had told you all the stuff you should do, you'd have been a better Christian? Am I right about it? So here it is. Here it is. We're not going to take long, but we're all just clay. And clay has no real value, just clay. But when you mix water with clay, Spirit of God, clay becomes something, some kind of something. Am I right about it? Look at your neighbor and say, I knew you had potential. Yeah, you were just clay sitting over there. And then the Spirit of God, the water, mixed with you. That's the treasure of the gospel, is that God takes clay. You know the potter's story. And mixes us. And you, how many of y'all ever worked with clay? Some of y'all are looking at me kind of funny. Okay. Even the outside can. In the backyard with your dirty self. You can't do nothing with it just like it is. You got to put some water with it, right? How many of y'all remember making mud pies? Amen. Mud pie. What did you put with the mud pie? Water. You can't just make no pie without no water. Clay, that's what we are. We're just clay waiting for the mixture to get just right. How many of you know that if you put too much water in it, it don't work right? You got to get it just right. You got to get just the right mix. And that's what's wonderful about God. He knows the right mixture. Nudge your neighbor, say, he hooked me up. You are clay and human being, dust just waiting for something divine. Dust hooking up with divine is destiny. Yes, sir, that's good news, because we were just sitting around with nothing to do. Songwriter said, I was alone and idle. Nudge your neighbor said, that was my song. You know how church folk give, and your song comes, you say, wait a minute, that's my song. He suggests to us that we were just kind of hanging out. And he writes these letters so that the church would understand your life before you got this letter wasn't nothing. You didn't know nothing about being, nobody in this room, no deacon, no preacher, nobody in this room knew nothing about being a Christian till we read these letters. That's why the Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. How many of you remember getting excited about mail, getting a letter? When a military person, remember, you get that first letter, Brother Thomas, you couldn't wait. Now that we done got all that debt, we don't get excited about mail no more. Mailman come to our house, be like, come on, man, you got to be kidding. But when you got these letters, the church got excited because they wanted to know. And I beg to ask the question, foolishly it may seem, is there anybody still interested in knowing how to make the adjustments? Can I get somebody to holler back at me? If you had made the proper adjustments, your life would be so much better right now. Am I right about it? Is there anybody here willing to admit that you wish you had adjusted earlier so that your journey would have been more fruitful? That's why they say, Vicky, if I had known back then what I have come to know now, all of us in this room would be living high and holy if we read that letter. Paul said, I got some good news for y'all. He said, listen, you died and were buried. See, that's the shout right there, because truth of the matter is we needed to die to some of that stuff. Not the physical death. Don't want anything to happen to you all. You all are so wonderful. But our spirit man longed to be set free. He was being held in bondage because our flesh man wouldn't let him come out. Tell your neighbor, I got out of that. He said, you were just dust waiting on the right mixture. You didn't know how to be beloved. Behold, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But thanks be unto God. He made some adjustments. Just a little twist here, a little something right there. You know, God is trying to tell you something. You all listen to what he's trying to say. He reminds us. He said, listen, through faith. Faith is the substance. That's some of that mixture right there, y'all. See, some of y'all ain't got enough faith. You got money, got a house, got a man, got your gal, but you ain't got enough faith. How many of you know you need more faith? How many of you need to put in an order for faith? Here's your form. You understand that faith gives us something that we can't even describe. By faith. Get to the Hebrew writer and he starts talking about faith and he gets caught up. He keeps saying, you ever got so enamored with something so wonderful you just kept saying it? And he kept saying, by faith, by faith, by faith. And every time he mentioned by faith, he talked about somebody who read that letter. That's why the Bible declares, my name has been wrote. If you live that faith life, they're going to write your name down. Some of us are not interested in having our name written anymore. We're too enamored with being part of what this is. You want to be in the right clique. You want to be in the right association, the right fraternity and sorority. You do know that those things will pass away? There are no alphas, kappas, AKAs, deltas. No Shriners, no Masons. In the kingdom, all of us are just the angels of the Lord. There will be no segregating and separating, signifying and sophomoric conventions in heaven. Bible says when we all get together, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus. That should have aroused a little more excitement from the church. I am talking to the church. It's church language I'm speaking. Does it suggest that you don't understand church language? This is your letter. God is making adjustments. How many of you remember when you needed adjustments. God comes along and says, there's something wonderful about you. The world may not see it. The world may not understand how tremendously wonderful you are. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't know me like that. You can't look at me and limit me. You're looking at me because you think you know something about me. You don't know me like that. No one can calculate your value like God. He saw something. What that guy sang that song said, he saw the best in me. Everyone else, that's y'all, could only see the worst in me. Somebody knows something about you. You do know that, don't you? Look at them and say, don't you tell on me. Everybody knows something. And listen, let me tell you something. I live long enough to know, Mother Davis, what they don't know, they'll make it up. You stole one slice of bread and they put out that you broke in the bakery. And stole a truck too. Nobody can calculate that. The Bible said that you are wonderfully made. God just needs to make some adjustment. We're going to be gone in a little bit. The most important thing to understand is that in order for us to make these adjustments, you got to yield. Got to yield. You can't fight against being made over. Y'all quiet. I know you love me. You got to yield. Bible said when the potter discovered that there was a flaw, he put it back up there. He didn't throw it away. Tell you, don't you throw me away. Write me all the time. I can't be in the choir because I got a flaw. I can't usher because I got a flaw. I can't preach because I got a flaw. Put me back up there. Work on me a little bit. You yield. But see, our problem, most of us don't want to yield. Get an attitude. I was talking to y'all earlier, and some of y'all had an unyielding attitude. Some of y'all could have stood up, y'all to put y'all hands on y'all hips and looked at me and said, let me tell you something, Mr. Reverend. You know, when people try to throw something at you, they always want to throw your title in. Oh, I know you're the pastor, but let me help you with something. See, that's how some of y'all was talking to me, with your eyes. And my eyes were saying, I love you. And you said, don't love me right now, I'm mad. You got to yield. Paul writes a letter and said, listen, let me help you. Sir. He said, well, shall we go on doing what we were doing? He said, no, we got to yield. We can yield. If we yield in the hands of the potter, oh, man, what we could be. Yes, Lord. Yes. How many of you ever looked at your children and said, you know what, you're going to be better than that? Right. How many of you ever looked at your children and said, you must make us proud? I'm the last one in this family that won't have a college degree. I'm the last one in this family that won't love the Lord and go to church. You got to look at your children and look at your husband and your wife and declare a yield on their lives. You don't have to live like that. God said, let me work with you. Let me make some adjustments. Let me see, how many of you ever looked at something that somebody wanted to throw away and say, well, I can work with that? You know, the devil had a mark on your life. Devil won't throw you away. God said, hey, give me that. Give me that. That's why the Bible talks about us letting old things pass away. Whisper at your name and say, let it go. That ain't whispering. Listen, you listen. Almost 1 o'clock. He said, listen. None of us are self-made. We didn't pick. Listen, you didn't pick. Listen, I was born October 25th, 1960. I didn't pick that day. I was asleep. Somebody slapped me. I looked around. I ain't know none of them people. All y'all think about your day you was born. Like, yeah, I didn't know them people. You're right, Rep. They start telling me this is your mama. You know, We're not self-made. Listen, if I'd have made me, I'd be 3 inches taller, a little more high yellow. I'd have hair like Deacon Anderson. before he lost some of it?
Come on. Who wouldn't make themselves better? That's why you need this word. Amen. That's what this word is saying. This word is saying, I know you want to be better. I will give you the faith formula to change your whole life.
I put a note here. I thought it'd be some shouting when I said that.
He said, all you got to do is read this letter.
Yeah. Old church, put it this way. I looked at my hand. And my hand, I looked at, I saw creative change. That's good preaching. Yes,
sir. I looked at myself like God. Listen, I told you before and I'll tell you again. You want to see yourself like God sees you. Boy, if I could ever see what he sees. I know I'll be better.
He said, you're not to blame. You're not self-made. You're a victim. All of us are victims.
All of us are victims. Our parents told us crazy stuff. Our friends told us, how many of us can admit that the reason we started smoking, drinking, doing a lot of what we did, because our friends influenced us. Then none of us come here with a six-pack in our pocket. Come on. Nobody came with cigarettes. Nobody learned how to roll no joint at the hospital.
Some of y'all went way too far right there.
We're victims. And we ought to go back and slap some of them people.
No, no, no.
He said, you got to read the letter. Why? Because clay can't mold itself. It can't.
I know y'all thinking,
how do I make? You make the adjustments by reading the letter. How does God see me? Wonderful. God sees you with this light. God sees you in process perfection. Being renewed.
You say it again, Reverend, I will.
Process perfection.
That was a request from the radio station.
Why process? Because we're working on it. Thank God we're living to work on it. Woo! Thank God he didn't kill me. With my first drink, my first cuss word, my first lie, my first deception. We're working on it. He's processing.
Look at your neighbor.
Look at your other neighbor. Get your mirror out and look at it. It's all about process. Aren't you glad you didn't have to take the final exam the first day? Some learning to do here. Some living.
Make me some adjustments here.
Let me see if I, you know, when you have company, how you clean up the house.
That's making adjustments, ain't it?
No, nobody lets people catch their house under. People come to our house unaware. We say, hold on a minute. You be hearing stuff falling over. Kids be running. Say, yoo-hoo, hold on, I'm coming. Child, Lord, it's the Reverend.
Little do you know the Reverend need a cold one himself.
To you, my friends. He said, you got to work it. So what are you saying, Reverend? We got to go. He said, listen. You must understand that God sees you differently. Wouldn't you really want to know? When he says things like the eye has not seen, what does he see? Yeah. The ear has not, what does he hear? Oh God, there's a song we sing when I grew up, I trade a lifetime for just one day. I'd like to see what he sees and hear what he hears. I'd like to know what he knows.
Would you admit with me if you could have read your script and saw those good parts, you would have been more encouraged.
You remember that day you didn't feel like going on? Aren't you glad that wasn't the last day? I wish I had some shouting folk in here. I mean, don't you remember when you were sick and tired of being sick and tired? But aren't you glad he let your golden moments run on? Aren't you glad that there's a better you today than you were yesterday? It's all about adjustments. And God is patient with us enough to say that I know you. I know how I made you. He said, listen, you must understand. I'll tell you that last week. I said, listen, you already seated with God. And some of y'all look at me like, no, I can't see that. What? Listen, I live by imagination a lot of times. Come on. There are a lot of things that before I ever really did them, I imagined myself. You ever been awakened from the dream you wanted to sleep in? You having a dream of your life, you rich, you living in a mansion, you ride around in a Bentley, and somebody wake you up. And you look outside and there's a Vega. God, come on, man. Why y'all walk? Now when you being chased by dogs and ghoulings and stuff, don't nobody wake you up. When you falling off a mountain and the house on fire and you can't find your shoes and you naked in front of the class, don't nobody wake you up. Here you are now riding in the back of the Bentley eating caviar, whatever it is. And hey, you got to go. Ow! And you ever try to go back to the continuation of the dream? There is no rewind. He said, listen, we got to let you. He said, listen, you do want to know that if you make these adjustments, your life's going to be wonderful. He said, now we can live different. That's all I want. It's the simplicity of why I'm here. I just want to live different. I don't want to live like that. You remember doing this? That's what we need to do to the devil. Yes, sir. All right. Bible says, if you resist the devil, you sitting around here playing footsies with him and letting him hang. You don't have to do that no more. You don't have to compromise. Don't you really want to know? The adjustments are right there in the book. He said, now we may live new lives. I don't know about you, but I like new. I just want another chance. That's all. That's all. The letter says you have another chance. How many know the devil's been lying to you? Told you were gonna wash out. You were no good. You getting what you deserve. Listen, nobody gets what they deserve. And you ought to shout right there, because if we got what we deserve, this room would be empty. Because all of us are worthy of death. He said, you make some adjustments. All right, so here's what he said. We gotta go. He said, you three things. I can't preach all of them, Sister Sandra. Here we are again, yet we ran out of time. Something. But can I give you three things? Three things. First thing you got to do, you got to learn how to step away from what's stupid. It's just that simple. Some of us are living our spiritual lives in stupidity. They say. No, you don't need to know what they say. You need to know what he said. Amen. Amen. I didn't say hearsay. I said he said. Open up this book. Read it. Your life is in this word.
Yes.
All of you.
Amen.
I'm just deacons.
Yeah.
I'm just a preacher. Only I got to be a preacher because I read the word.
Amen.
y'all better stop making me sin. Stick with the Savior.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Then some convention where they're not going about our lives. In other words, get involved in your Christian development. You got to enhance you. You got to upgrade. You got to enhance your spirit. The second thing is, I'm going to take the second thing on to the third thing. That you got to expect acceleration. You got to expect to go fast. Because if it hits you in a joke, you'll be kind of shocked. You got to expect, okay, my life is going to take off. How many of you are waiting on your life to take off? You got business ideas, some education, or something. You got to expect it. You can't let it just come. You got to, it's like when any of you call a cab. When you call a cab, what do you do? You move toward the door. Why? Because you expect it in any minute now. They go, woo woo. You don't want to be back in the kitchen and put your shoe over the cab driver go charge you for that. You got to expect it. In our Christian life, we're expecting at any moment God to do the next thing that we're not praying about. If you ain't praying about nothing, ain't nothing going to happen. Now we get to your next thing by having a sorry prayer life. Choose to be free. I choose to have joy.